Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. So many things to get into today, but then again, we always say that on this show. David, it's like it's good and plenty today on talk show front.
Yes, it is. There's a tremendous amount going on in the world and locally, and we're going to cover all of them in methodical order.
Methodical as possibly methodically as we can actually act as grown-ups here on WBEN. The 5 o'clock hour, what do you think we should do the 5 o'clock hour? I know that it's a couple hours away, but...
Well, there was a big announcement with Chris Jacobs, Senator Chris Jacobs, announcing he is going to run a primary against Chris Collins, sitting congressman in New York 27.
So it's going to be Chris Jacobs and how many thousands of other people in the Republican primary?
They're getting the band back together, Tom.
It's like they could fill Rich Stadium.
There are going to be – could you imagine what would happen if you had like a nine-person primary? You could win that thing with like 14%.
Do they think they're the Democrat Party for 2020?
Exactly. Somehow the Starbucks guy got involved in New York 27. I don't know.
Which is absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, right. But no, it, there's going to be a ton of people that are going to jump in this thing. And I just, again, Chris Collins has got to make either have a statement, give us what he intends to do. But, you know, that's a pretty brazen move by Chris Jacobs.
It certainly is. We will have to see what happens. So in the 5 o'clock hour, we hope to talk with several of the people who may be involved in NY26.
Or 26. We'll talk to whoever.
We'll
do 25. I remember just the circus that became towards the end. And to know that we're ramping up already. I mean, do you have the patience for another, you know, 4 months of just interviews and commercials and folks running a primary? It's going to just be absolute, it's going to be a madhouse.
Well, the more mayhem-ish it is, the better chance I would think that gives the Democrat challenging the eventual winner of the Republican cluster dance.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm hearing some pretty big names that are kicking the tires on New York 27. Names that we've never seen before. And, you know, whether or not that turns out to be the truth, who knows? But, you know, you've got Nate that's out there, and I'm sure he'll do another run at this on the Democratic side. But the Republican side, you know, state senators, a lot, you know. And the other thing is that, like, there's anything. Redistricting is going to happen no matter what, not only at the federal level, but at the state level as well. And all these state senators, you know, Chris Jacobs doing this now, basically taking himself out of anything that happens down the road with the Senate, gives the Republicans a chance to find a candidate that wants to run in that seat, you know. But again, you know, Chris Jacobs, maybe, just maybe, you have a candidate as a Republican in a Republican district that voted for the Republican sitting president. Wow. You know, I mean, that's going to be hard for him to unpack. There's been a lot of the votes in the Senate that are not R plus 11 votes. Now, that doesn't mean that he's unelectable. There are a lot of people that hate Trump in this district. There's a lot of Democrats in the district. But it's going to be a difficult primary if he's got people running right of him. You know, he can try to get that middle road in the general. But in a primary, if all these folks jump in it, it's going to be a difficult thing. But he's got the money. He's got the name recognition. You know, that Trump thing is going to be an impediment.
It is 12 minutes after 3 at News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, David, I was thinking about maybe going back to college and, you know, taking the SAT and getting my degree finally in photography or in basket weaving.
How do you think you'd do on the SAT?
I think I would absolutely bomb in the SAT. Hey, when I went to college, I took the ACT anyway because the ACT back then was divided into four different categories, three out of four of which I knew cold. So I actually took the ACT and not the SAT and ended up getting one of those Regents scholarships out of the deal.
You know, the thing about the SAT today, you know, the ACT is on a different scale. It's like out of 32, or is that what it is?
I'm not sure what the highest score you can get is or was on the ACT.
The SAT's
was just good enough to get the scholarship.
Yeah, the SAT, I think, is two categories. What?
Math and verbal.
Math and verbal, and that's 800 a piece, and 1600 is the max. And evidently, there's a 35-year-old in Florida that if you pay $50,000 to, that guy is averaging a 1520 on his SATs. That's the
guy. You mean to say there are actually people for sale that will take the SAT for you?
They're expensive, but man, oh man. You know, what's interesting is that, you know, they flag you depending on how, you know, if you take the PSAT, you know, people say, oh, the PSAT score doesn't count. Well, it does when you take a 300-point jump from the PSAT to the actual SAT, and then you get flagged, and they're like, hey, could you explain why you got an 850, you know, cumulative on the SAT, and you took it for the first time and ended up with a 1520? How's that possible? So, yeah, people getting busted all the time cheating. And I remember talking to someone who took the MCAT, and they said that you had to get I think they took your thumbprint for the MCAT. That's how serious they took when you went in. You had to get fingerprinted because, you know, that's medical school boards, and they don't want people cheating. I'm sure the LSAT is also a pretty competitive.
Very strict with identification.
And you can't go for a restroom break because your brain's full or you're having stomach issues. You're pretty much in that room.
You better wear it depends.
You're in that room until it's over. So were you one of those test takers that got super nervous?
You know, it depended on the test. I think I was pretty nervous for the ACT because I knew that there was essentially $4,000 on the line. But
that's true.
Yeah, you know what? Typically, I by the end of my academic career, I had test taking down to a science. I used to love multiple choice. Multiple choice to me meant, obviously, you take out the answer you know is not correct first, and then you work on, usually they came down to two answers, both of which could have been correct, and then you finally just go eeny meeny miny mo and pick the one you think is going to be best.
I had a college professor once and one test, every answer was D.
Every answer was D,
and he did it just to see if you would follow the herd, you know, like, because if you've got like six D's in a row, you've got to be like, oh, I can't be D again. I've got to be doing something wrong here, right? So it was like a test to see if you would actually look for the right answer no matter where it came and no matter that the entire test was one letter. That's what the test was.
Wow. Well, they're doing something. David, they're mucking around with the SAT. They're doing something with the SAT.
It's this white privilege thing. It's gotten to the point where now we have a disadvantage level on the College Board SATs. And although this isn't, you know, going to affect your test scores.
Allegedly.
Like, right. But it affects, you know, whether or not you're going to go in, be accepted to a certain school. Now, remember, there was a quota system that many people think is unfair because there's, you know, there are Caucasians or Asians that score off the charts, but because there's too many Asians or there's too many white people, they go for, you know, minority status or some other group. I think I was reading where Harvard, it turns away Asian Americans more than any other school because, you know, and white people have a hard time getting into certain schools. There are black only colleges. And again, it's to make up for the time when African-Americans applications, no one wanted to look at African-American applications in Southern colleges, some Northern colleges. So obviously it's been a civil rights has been a slow, steady journey in American history here. But this is almost reflexive to a side where now, at least in the quota system, you knew what demographics were getting accepted. This is a you know, closeted environment. You have no idea what your disadvantage level is, you know, and it goes by things like your home life, your school life, the environmental factors that influence different things, family education,
the ranking of the school you attended,
neighborhood crime rates, housing values, vacancies, poverty levels, and you get a disadvantage level from 0 to 100. 50 and above indicate that the student has had to navigate more obstacles than the average student, and below 50, it signifies that the student has enjoyed more privilege than the peers. And that's something.
Well, and, you know, I the same people behind the so-called adversity score with SAT, the same people who did that, aren't they the people who are also behind Common Core?
Absolutely. It's not a diversity score. It is it's an adversity score, why would we need that in a, if there's black and white standards for someone that needs to, you have to have an SAT score here, you have to have a grade point average here, everything else rounds you out. You want to play in the band, you want to be in a musical, play football, whatever it is. This is what rounds you out. Now we have, you know, a closed door, a dashboard adversity score basically dictates how you can, whether or not you're going to be accepted. The individual who started this, though, is David Coleman, who is the architect of Common Core, current president and chief executive of the College Board. And, a very checkered history when it comes to standardized tests and higher learning. Obviously, Common Core, not a lot of people in this audience are big fans of Common Core. But David Coleman is a very rabid left-wing guy and has been unapologetic about his he started a group called the Grow Network, which was an internet-based company that consults with analyzing test scores. And he negotiated contracts with Pennsylvania, New Mexico, Nevada, New Jersey, New York City, and Chicago Public Schools to bring Common Core and new standardized testing for all people.
So our question to you on WBEN is, for the SATs, should one's adversity be taken into account when determining the part of the package that SAT is going to send to the college to which you or your child applies? That is the question. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Should one's adversity affect one's chances of getting into school? You know, do you realize, David, how many rags-to-riches stories with which this is going to interfere?
But here's the thing. Your adversity is different than my adversity, right? You can't tell someone their adversity has a score. I mean, what if you're a very sensitive person and you have a, you know, alcoholic father? That same alcoholic father has, you know, two children that deal with the fact that their father has a illness and the father is, I mean, whether how you're wired and what you're capable of dealing with, to me, I don't understand. I thought we were supposed to overcome adversity. That's what is part of growth. I don't know how, to me, this is an excuse rating. You know, you scored this way because you need an excuse, and you have more excuse to not be a good student or study for the SATs because, you know, mom, you know, was a whatever she did for a living. I mean, the whole thing.
You mean, she could be a prostitute?
Well, whatever the case may be. There are tons of CEOs. There are tons of multimillionaires. The NFL is full of young men who have overcome outrageous adversity to become a professional athlete. So, I mean, broken homes, abuse, poor neighborhoods. Do we go to the University of Michigan and say the starting quarterback should have an adversity score? By the way, this guy should start at quarterback for 4 years because his dad hit him. What do you mean? I want the guy who throws the football. I want a guy who can rush for 4.3 yards a carry. I don't care what their adversity was. I want people who can overcome it. I mean, I'm not going to pick a squad of infantrymen that are, you know, the guys that were verbally abused and give them a pass and let's all go to war together. I want the best guys that are capable. I want people that are willing to learn. We can train them and get them ready. this whole thing is just a loser's limp. This privilege nonsense is an excuse for people to just hit the quit button.
Well, all right. Is that, that brings up a totally different question, but it's tied into question number one. Are you, if you are white and listening to this show, are you the recipient of white privilege? And I, here's what I can't reconcile, David. For years, we've been told that there are more poor white people in America than there are poor minorities in America. That argument was always used when the idea of welfare came up in public debate. Well, wait a minute. You know, you're stereotyping there are more poor white people in America than there are poor minorities. Well, if that's the case, doesn't that kind of beat the heck out of the whole white privilege argument?
Well, exactly. I mean, the jails, everyone wants to say that because you're the term urban is, you know, cloak for African-American, black. This Sunday on Hardline, you know, we had a leader that was essentially Nathan Hare was talking about how, you know, when you look at Head Start, and you look at all the money that's going towards underprivileged, you know, Erie County residents, the vast majority of people that are taking advantage of those programs are white Americans. They're not African Americans. Food stamps, welfare, this isn't just a black thing. This isn't a Hispanic thing. This is an there are underprivileged people from all demographics, but white people tend to be in prison more, more poor. More folks that are struggling on food stamps, more people that are in clinics overcoming addiction. That's not a black problem. It could very well be a white problem. What if your father is a multimillionaire and you're like the guy in Williamsville? You're homeless and you're walking around. You could come from means and still decide to live a lifestyle that's not has anything to do with your privilege. This is a ridiculous standard, and to me, it just shows that the inmates have taken over the asylum.
Well, and again, I think the correlation between the people who came up with Common Core and the people who came up with this new adversity score for the SATs, I find that interesting, and it is especially interesting in this whole climate in which we live of so-called privilege, and we will need to take a break and get back to this on WBEN. All right, Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN, the College Board, the company that administers the SAT exam taken by about 2 million students a year, will for the first time assess students not just on their math and verbal skills, but also on their educational and socioeconomic backgrounds, entering a fraught battle over the fairness of high-stakes testing. The company announced that it will include a new rating, which is widely being referred to as an adversity score of between 1 and 100, 1 and 100 based on students' test results. An average score is 50, and other numbers mean more disadvantage. The score will be calculated using 15 factors, including the relative quality of the student's high school and the crime rate and poverty level of the student's neighborhood. So you could actually score up to 100 extra points on the SAT. But here's the wrinkle. They say that it is not going to count as part of the SAT score. In other words, if you score a 900 on the SAT, even if you come from the worst adversity possible, it's not like you're going to end up with a 1,000 on the SAT. This is going to be included, David, as part of the entire package of information that SAT sends to the various colleges.
Well, no, it's part of the admissions process, which means that it's more important than the SAT score because you could, you know, the response is, well, it doesn't count for community colleges, so what do you care if we're doing it? Well, if you're going to use that argument, don't do it. Right. I mean, the argument here is that this won't change the score. So congratulations, you got a 1520, but you can't go to any school but a SUNY school. Right.
Right.
Because nobody else is going to accept you because you are privileged. I mean, it's nonsense. The entire thing is, it doesn't matter what your score is. We don't get scores so we can get a jar of cookies or you can put an Oscar De La Hoya championship belt on your waist. You get scores because it gives you more opportunities to go to better schools so that you could achieve a degree and end up with a real job. That's the whole point of going to college, is to parlay that into a career, allegedly.
Well, no. It's going to college is all about broadening your horizons, David. It's all about them providing you with a diverse background so you can have a more fulfilling life. It has nothing to do with dollars and cents. At least that was the spiel they gave us.
Well, then, you know what? Give me your $75,000, and I'll give you the greatest experience you've ever had in your life. No.
Flying in an F-16?
Well, yeah, no, that would not be it, or piloting or anything else. No, but what I'm saying, though, is that if we're going to make the argument that this doesn't affect the score and therefore why should anyone care about it, I will make the argument, then why are you doing it? Because it's more important than the score. It affects what schools you go into. And you would think colleges now, after that big scandal, would be a little bit more cognizant of the way they're perceived.
But, you know, when you get a story like this, David, I mean, you have to take into consideration the political ramifications of it and the fact that the same people behind Common Core are now pushing this for the SAT. As you said earlier, it's like the lunatics have taken over the asylum, but the political goal here is what exactly is the way you analyze it?
Well, this is an excuse for why people are doing poorly on the SATs. And this is another reason to say it's not teachers' faults. It's not failing schools' responsibility that these students are doing poorly. So you know what? Let's extend this beyond the SAT. Let's go to state standards. It's not fair that these schools are doing poorly on the Common Core testing. It's not fair that these schools are doing, are at a lower graduation rate, or they're at a lower reading rate, or their scores have dropped off the cliff because their adversity is higher. Therefore, still give them funding. Don't pay any attention to them. It's not their fault. It's not our fault, the teachers. It's not our fault, the district. It's God's fault. It's the fault of, the cosmic consciousness, and therefore keep funneling, shoveling money into education because we're open for business.
But, you know, if it starts in education, David, think of the ramifications. Think of the ramifications out there in the professional world. If you're up against a job with somebody who comes from a bad neighborhood with poverty and a high crime rate, is your employer eventually going to be of the mindset that they might not have the SAT score in front of them, but they've got a similar score in their own mind, maybe come up with by some corporate PR or corporate HR person?
Well, there's tax breaks all the time for people that are in rough situations. I always find it odd that if you're, the state of New York will say, hey, are you a combat veteran? Are you a veteran at all? Well, then, yeah, your employer gets a tax break on the payroll tax because they're hiring a veteran. And then the next question is, are you a drug felon? You know what I mean? Like, they put those right together. Have you spent any time in jail? Are you on welfare? Or have you served your country? Like, how did veterans get sucked into that? Are you on, have you been Narcan'd into back to life? Then you're, look, there are all types of incentives to be able to hire people of diverse backgrounds, but diverse is not adverse. We're not talking about adversity. We're talking about diverse. I thought diversity was what we wanted to encourage. Now we're saying your test score is automatically in direct correlation to the struggles you've had in your life. Not rewarding people for overcoming struggles. That's not the goal. The goal is just to air your grievances of why you didn't score as high as the other kid. And you know what? There's a lot of kids that have crazy homes, broken up homes, abuse in their life, drugs in their life, and they overcome all of those things. They do it through sports. They do it through academics. They do it through coming up with a brand new idea and putting that idea in the marketplace, and they make millions of dollars doing it. And there's we're trying to kill any mindset that believes that when I have adversity, what do? Do I overcome it? Do I plow through it? Or do I register it, take a photo of it, and make sure it's there with my SAT score?
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, this is going to do away with a lot of rags-to-riches stories because it's pretty hard to argue that you were the victim of rags if you got extra breaks in order to get into Yale or Harvard based on the neighborhood and the circumstances in which you grew up. Bye-bye, rags-to-riches, goodbye, Horatio Alger stories.
That
may be our first Horatio Alger reference on the air ever.
Right.
He wrote books like Ragged Dick.
There you go. And maybe that's why. But no, seriously though, you nailed it. I don't know. The whole thing to me is super frustrating.
Well, I keep getting back to this idea that the same people behind Common Core are now the same people who are having a tremendous influence over SAT, and everybody is always talking about the politics on the campuses across the United States and elsewhere, and the fact that indoctrination has taken the place of education, and this may be another example of the cow leading the shepherd.
Look, I don't. We're of the mindset that it really doesn't take. The test is the same. You know, the thing about sports, right, is that there are rules in sports. You step out of bounds, everyone's out of bounds. There's not different rules in football for obese people. There's not different rules in football for people that have astigmatism. There are rules in football, right? So you take your talent, you take the rules, and you say, okay, this is the snap, this is the play. If you catch the ball in bounds and you're not tackled, you run as far as you can on your feet, and if you score a touchdown, it's a touchdown. Black people and gay people don't get 8 points for a touchdown. They get 6 points like everyone else. Those are the standards. That's the field we play on. All of a sudden, we want to change all these standards for other people, and pretty soon, everyone has a different standard. Everyone has a different way of doing things, and there's no structure, there's no order, and you know what you end up finding? No greatness. You can't be elite when everyone has a different standard, because now your greatness is stunted by someone else who said, you're not that great. You only got that score because of your adversity. If you had grown up in a neighborhood that didn't have 55 cars popped every night, you wouldn't. I mean, does that mean that you're smarter than the other kid? No, but you're going to have a privilege. You're going to be able to go to Harvard and Yale because of how many burglaries occur in your neighborhood is absolutely ridiculous. What is the argument? They stole my SAT prep book?
Right. Right. Is it right for colleges to consider a student's adversity score as part of the admissions process? Now, I'm not sure where you are exactly right now with your kids and going to school and whether they are going to college or whether they were able to get into the college they most desired. But if any of this makes sense to you or does not make sense to you, let us know about it at 803-0930. That is the on-air number, 803-0930. *930 is free on the cell phone and 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm trying to figure out, David, exactly the circumstances that would make a neighborhood provide 100 extra points as part of the admissions package by SAT. I mean, what are we talking about? Car bombings? Are we talking about Beirut in 1983? Exactly what are we talking about to get a Beirut 100 score?
It's also the first Beirut reference today.
Well,
but no, it's ridiculous. But again, so you say you have a bad day. Right, I'm having a horrible day today.
Just Monday through Fridays.
What does that mean? Oh, you're having a bad day. What if you, are a survivor of a shipwreck and you did the doggy paddle for 4 days in the Pacific Ocean? You fed yourself on algae and jellyfish and you got to shore. Your adversity standard is reflective of your experiences. Who is any college administrator, high school administrator? You can't look at your environmental conditions and say, this is why a kid is smarter or less intelligent than another kid, or this is why a kid deserves an opportunity more than another kid. That's absurd. There are tons of rich kids that end up overdosing on heroin. There's tons of poor kids that end up going to school and they're the best dentists in the world.
Well, we got people on hold who want to talk about it, so naturally it's time we do a break. Let's get some calls on WBEN for your take on this SAT adversity score. And what do you think your adversity score should be? If you were taking the SAT today, given all the circumstances of where you live, the crime rate, and everything you've been through in life, if you had to give yourself an adversity score, what would it be? I'd give myself a 100. That's my adversity score, a 100.
Meaning that, of course, would mean that you are the most, you've had so much adversity.
Exactly. So much adversity that it's a wonder that I'm still even here. So, yes, I would give myself an absolute positive 100.
And again, I think that that's the problem we run into is who decides that. And by the way, what's the adversity score of the people judging adversity? I'd like to know that too.
And what is the adversity score for some illegal crossing the border illegally who was born like in Honduras or El Salvador coming into the United States? This is like custom made for them.
Oh, listen, that's a lot of adversity.
Here is Tom on WBEN. Tom in Amherst. Hello, adverse Tom.
Hey, guys. I'm going through this, the problems with everything right now. My junior wants to go to a better college. He eventually wants to be like an ambassador. He wants to work for the State Department. He's very involved in politics and world politics, and that's what he wants to do. So he's already taken the SAT twice. I've sent him for classes, extra classes, tutoring. He still thinks he has too low of a score to get into like Colgate or one of the better schools for political degrees. And then you have all these other outside companies coming in. I get bombarded every day with emails and letters. Hey, we'll help them get into these schools. We'll help them get all these scholarships. You just have to pay us so much. It's become a business. I could see why some of these parents were paying bribes to get their kids in just to bypass all this.
Well, what do you make of the adversity score idea?
You know, there's adversity everywhere. Yeah, I live in Amherst. I get picked out. Oh, you live in this nice neighborhood. You know what? We still have crime. We still have kids that come from bad homes. Some of my kids' friends, you know, their homes aren't the best living conditions. And I even heard some of the schools this morning, universities that they were talking to on the national news, saying some of them were going to ignore it anyways. That's not what they're there for. They just want the best and brightest. And if you're showing your scores are good and or even class rankings, they're adding that in now. Now, with my son, he's carrying a 97.8. There's 15 people tied for him for third in this class. So you can't even break that down and use that anymore. And in fact, some of the places like Ohio, some of the school districts are stopping rankings because they feel it's unfair to the ones that have lesser scores.
No, yeah, and doing away with valedictorians.
Yes. Yes. Can't have that competition.
It's becoming too vanilla on certain things. And then there, you know, I forgot what the gentleman said. He didn't want to call it a... Oh, when you give somebody with a lesser background an advantage, it's supposed to be a level playing field. Now, I worked my butt off to move out here to make sure my kids went to a better school system. Unfortunately, I grew up in the city. I went to city schools. I went into the service after high school, but when I got out, even in my 40s, I went back to college. I got my 2 degrees while I was still working full-time. It's what you do yourself, I think, as a person. I even tell my kids, stop making excuses if you fail the test or if you did something wrong. You know, learn from your mistakes, learn from your fall downs, get up, brush dust off, and move forward. And hopefully it carries on for them.
All right, sir, thank you very much for the call.
It's good advice.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.